road that we have with Christ. As we continue to grow in faith, we grow in our relationship with Him, and that really is what abiding in a Savior is about. It's about living in Christ and growing that relationship that we have with Him. But before we get too far into this, let's start with some prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be here in Your presence. We're grateful to be here with Your people. Father, to acknowledge You, to lift You up, to point at You as the Savior of the world, the one that was born into this world to live and to live the perfect sinless life, to become the unblemished Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, Lord, that we can yield ourselves to You. And as we do this morning in word, in Your word, Father, I pray that You penetrate our hearts. I pray that You speak to us deeply. I pray that You help us and help us put our brains around what our spirit needs to do next, Lord, that we can get the two in unison and continue to move forward, letting You do what You want to do in and through our life, Lord. We're trusting You this morning. Thank You for what You've done for us. Thank You for eternal life and salvation. Thank You for forgiveness. Thank You for a strength that is above our own. We thank You for Your love and grace. We praise You for it in Jesus' name. We say amen. Amen. So I want to talk just about abiding in the Savior. Okay, it is something that is, it's much more than just something that's valuable, okay, for the Christian. It's something that is critical in our life. If we want to fulfill what God has for us, what God is calling us to do, we will want to abide in the Savior. It's something that's not hard, okay? Sometimes we make things out to be so hard, and we were talking about this service even, and some of the kids were nervous about saying stuff, and, you know, I'm sure, you know, even like Jeff, you know, that's a big solo, and, you know, we knew we'd have more people, and so you can get nervous about it. And I just kept going back to what I kept hearing in my spirit, and that is that, you know what, it's unto God. You know, when we gather and we're fellowshipping, you know, God doesn't mind if the kids miss a word, or, you know, it really comes from the heart, and that's what God is more paying attention to. So when I tell you this about abiding in your Savior, know that it is something that is not hard to do. It is not, it takes a little bit of care and attention on your part. It takes a little bit of focus. You know, a little bit, Jesus even said a little bit of faith can do tremendous things. So I'm saying that a little bit of focus can get you on the right track with this as well. You know, there's a story in the Bible where Luke describes as Jesus is going into a particular village, and a certain woman in that village named Martha was there, and she invited them into her home. You guys kind of remember the Mary and Martha story? Some of you probably do. Okay, well, Martha invited this group, including Jesus, to come into her home. Well, as Luke is telling it, he goes on to say that Martha has a sister named Mary, and he says that Mary, quote, sat at the feet of Jesus to hear His word. Okay, and then the story goes on that Martha, meanwhile, gets busy and starts cooking and cleaning and serving and taking care of everyone. And at one point, Luke says that she got frustrated and says to Jesus, Lord, don't You see how overwhelmed I am? And yet Mary is just sitting there. Why don't You tell her to come and help me? Okay, and Jesus' response to that was this, in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 41. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful or full of care, anxious, and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. See, Mary at that moment was choosing to abide in her Savior. Okay, with all the things that were going on, no matter what else there was that needed to be done, she was seizing the opportunity to spend time with her Savior while she had the chance. You ever get that in your daily walk where you want more of God and you're trying to figure out, well, I got to block out an 8-hour day to spend with God? No, you don't. You need to take those moments like Mary was doing it. There may be some other things going on, but that stuff was coming together. It was going to happen. Okay, people weren't going to, you know, fall down from starvation if she didn't get up and help Martha serve. Okay, it was a moment where She saw that I may never get this opportunity again to spend this close of time with my Savior. And for you and I, that might be driving down the street. Okay, it might be sitting in your lounge chair. It might be while you're in the shower. Who knows? It's that time when you're saying, I got a few seconds here. I got a few moments, and I'm going to take that time to abide in my Savior. I'm going to sit at His feet to hear His word, to see what He has to speak to me. Okay, John chapter 15, I want to read to you some words. This is the verse literally that prompted this message about abiding in your Savior. In John 15:4, Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. For as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me." Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Okay, now I notice as I read that it doesn't just say that Jesus is going to abide in us. Okay, he says, "As you abide in me and I abide in you." That means there's more to it than just a one-sided part of this relationship. It is an abiding in each other. I'm going to describe what that word means. First, John goes on in chapter 15, verse 6. The next verse, he says, "If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." You know, the word "abide" that Jesus is referring to or using in these verses is the word "meno" in the Greek. Okay, and it means to remain, stay, or lodge. Okay, it refers to a dwelling place. It refers to living quarters, okay, or a place of lodging, a place where you stay, remain, and abide. It implies a place that you expect to continue to exist. Okay, if I wanted to stay at the hotel next to us, I expect it to be there tomorrow, right? If I'm going to stay for two nights, I stay there one night, I expect it to be there the next night. Okay, it is expected to be there in the future, to remain in existence. Okay, that word "abide" is tied in with the Greek word for endurance. Okay, in other words, it is going to be there for the long haul. It has active qualities, that word "meno" in the Greek, that implies persistence and perseverance. Okay, perseverance, going above and beyond, continuing on in the heat of the battle, going through, pressing through, okay, being persistent. To abide in your Savior, then, is to dwell in His presence for the long term. Okay, it is anticipating that your relationship will not only continue, but it's going to develop. It's going to become deeper. It's going to become more solidified, more concrete, more permanent, you could say, that you can say it's going to be there tomorrow. Okay, it's going to be there the next day. Okay, now, we know that as Christians, we are not immune to challenges in this life. Okay, they are going to come. Things do not always go the way that we plan for them. Okay, and when people are involved, there are sure to be disappointments. Okay, there are going to be highs and lows and everything in between. But what many fail to realize is that when you abide in Christ, it means that those very trials are what is going to cause you to engage your faithful endurance. It is at those times when your faith is challenged. Will you at those moments choose to abide in your Savior? Here's where I said it takes a little focus on your part. It takes some decision making. Okay, will you choose to abide in your Savior, or will you give in to the will of the enemy of your souls who's trying to take you down a different path? Will you remain constant in your relationship with Christ, Or will you yield to the carnal desires of your flesh? You know, the idea of abiding in your Savior means that no matter what happens in your life, you're going to return to Him. Okay, He is your dwelling place. He is your place of residence. He is your home, you could say. You know, our goal is that no matter what comes at you in life, that your Savior will be your refuge. He is your constant. He is your ever-present help in time of need. You know, when you are abiding in your Savior, all those potential scenarios that could come up in your life are filtered or sort of screened through Jesus. Okay, no matter what happens during your day, you're already in your safe place. You're already in your place of peace with God. You are anchored down in His presence. Everything you need is right there and easily accessible. I get the picture again of Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. You can't get any closer. She wasn't going to miss a word. She wasn't in the back row somewhere. She wasn't behind the curtain listening in. She put herself and planted herself right there at the feet of Jesus. You know, when you're abiding in Christ, in order to make any negative decisions, something that would be detrimental to your life or to step into temptation or give into that, you would have to intentionally leave your abode in Christ. Does that make sense? You're abiding in Him, living in Him, and He in you. You are at home together. In order to step aside and do something that is not of Him, you have to leave that place. Okay, you have to step aside from that. Okay, in other words, it's much harder to make bad choices when you're abiding in your Savior. He is your everything. Okay, the Apostle John, who coined himself the disciple whom Jesus loved, said it this way in 1 John chapter 2, in verse 28. He says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He shall appear..." How many know Jesus is coming back? "So abide in Him so that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." In other words, when you abide in Jesus, you do not have to be afraid to meet Jesus face to face. Okay, you'll be right on track. Okay, abiding in your Savior then comes with confidence. It comes with an assurance. It comes with a security that you know that things are taken care of. You're in Christ. Jesus said to abide in Me. Okay, that term abide, when you look into the meaning of the word, it points us to the word reside or a place of residence. Okay, in other words, that abiding in Christ is your home sweet home. Okay, it's that good place. It's where it is as real as it can get. Okay, you know, it's been said that you make a house into a home when you bring love into that environment. Okay, it is the main venue, a home is, where your closest relationships are developed. You personalize it to a certain extent. You make your home more and more your own. You get more comfortable there. Is anybody uncomfortable in their own home? Hopefully not. That is our safe place. It is our place, our dwelling, our place where we have as much comfort as we can usually find. You take some pride almost in, I don't like the word pride, but that's what it is. You kind of feel good about your home. You've decorated, you got a nice furniture set, you have it established. Okay, you kind of personalize it a little bit. And when you own a home, you care for it. It has a place in your life that you notice if something is broken and you fix it or attempt to fix it. Okay, maybe if it's something minor, you know, maybe you'll let it go for a little bit, but you're always going to be aware that faucet drips. Okay, you're always going to know that, oh yeah, that drawer handle is still loose. You know, you're always going to be thinking, oh, you know, hope it doesn't rain. That roof is still a little leaky in that one corner, you know. but you care for it. You put plans in motion to fix something, especially if it's something major. If you have a window that gets knocked out, kids next door playing ball, accidentally knocked out a window, you know that right away. A window busted out in Wyoming in the winter is kind of a big deal, okay? And you put something in motion to fix that window. I can't have a broken window and it's 10 degrees outside and whew, on the wrong side of the house is blowing all that wind through, okay? You're gonna wanna do something about it. So you put something in motion. When you realize that your window, you have a big opening into your home, is broken, and you put something in motion to have it repaired, okay? Especially this time of year. Now put your spiritual ears on for a minute. Because if you likewise have a broken window coming into your place of residence with Christ, into your relationship with Him, you're going to know it. Most of us know quite a few of our weak areas. There's a few that we're kind of, I've seen some blinders on people. They just don't realize what is leading them astray. But for the most part, we kind of know. Those are those windows into our life that are broken. And yet we're trying to just leave them open and pretend like it's not open when it still is. Now, your relationship with Jesus is your living quarters with Him. It is your abode with Him. So if something needs fixing, get on it. You know, if you need some help getting something fixed, like I know a window guy, and that would be in the natural. We could call Reed and he'd probably come help us with a window. But in your spiritual life, Reed might be a guy you go to for some of that too. And so could the person sitting next to you. So could I. So could Margie. If you have something in your life that you're not real sure how to go about fixing it, I guarantee you that there's somebody in this room that has gone through something similar. God puts the body of Christ together with all the members in particular, the Bible says. Okay, He knows that somebody can help you through that time. Somebody has been there, gotten through it, overcome in an area. You know, figuratively, we're talking about the temple of God, sort of the dwelling place of God. Okay, now I know in the natural that there are times when I might be working with the cattle or out in the corrals or whatever, I get a bunch of mud and other stuff on my boots, and when I come into the house, I take them off, usually in the mud room in our basement, because I don't want to drag that mud all the way through the house, okay? Spiritually, there may be some times when you're going to want to take your boots off at the door. Okay, maybe leave some of that behind. Okay, where you're not wanting to take it into your relationship with Christ. Okay, that's your residence with Him. It's your good place with Him. You know, I know at our house, we pay attention to things like our doors and the windows, whether or not they're open or not. Okay, certain times a year you might want a window open. Okay, but certain times of year, you don't. Okay, or the same with your doors. Our doors on the house are shut right now. I'll just tell you that. Because I know that. Because there are things that we want to let in and things that we want to let out. And we are in control of when that happens or what happens with those doors and windows. Okay, now in the summertime, for example, we might not want flies and mosquitoes coming in, so we're going to keep our windows closed unless it has a screen on it, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. In the wintertime, it's cold outside, so we're going to keep the heat in and keep the cold out. I think it would be counterproductive to try to heat your home but then leave your doors wide open, right? Anybody ever tried it? If you are trying to heat up your life with Jesus, okay, your abode with Jesus, and yet you still have one foot firmly planted in the worldly ways, the world, you have a door open. Okay? You're not closing that door. You're keeping it partially open. Some of you need to close some doors to your past. Okay, there's the convicting statement of the day. Sometimes we got to let go of some things that are pulling us in the wrong direction. And that means that we leave it outside. We close the door on it. And what do? If you really want to keep the bad guys out, what do? You don't just close the door behind them. You lock it. Put something in motion that says, I'm done with this. No more. Okay? And you lock that door and you say, I've had enough of that. You are now out and you're not coming back in. Amen. You know, sometimes we need to evaluate our spiritual condition. Evaluate your spiritual residence with Christ. If your house is cluttered, maybe you need to get rid of some stuff. Okay, most of us have some sort of a limit. Okay, I don't know if it's a psychological thing or not, but most of us have some sort of a limit as to how messy, dirty, cluttered we will allow our home to get before we say, enough is enough, I'm cleaning this place today. Okay, and then what happens? We clean up our house and it feels good. It looks good. It's nice coming home to a nice clean house. Okay, and we clean it all up and then we feel more like maybe we could even invite some friends over that, wow, come see what I did. I cleaned my house. Okay, but what happens is that things start to get messy before the friends come over, but what do? You don't want it to be messy, so you pick it up and you start taking care of your space. And you clean up that and keep the clutter put away and keep the floor mopped. And if Gary walks in the house with his muddy boots, you say, dig them off, right? And you try to keep some of that stuff out so that your house remains cleaner longer, because it takes some work to get it clean. Okay? It didn't just happen. Even those little robot things we were talking about, the little robot vacuums, they don't do that good a job. Okay, it's still hard. It's still, you have to babysit those things. I don't know if you haven't. We've had one for a couple years. When you abide in Christ, you're going to begin to see some areas in your relationship with Him that could probably use a little straightening up. Okay, and that's okay. It's okay. If God didn't want us to acknowledge and feel a little bit of, I need to do something about that, we wouldn't be feeling it. Okay, God wants us to know that there are things that we need to do, and He will help to reveal some of those. Okay, you might decide that you don't want to track mud into your relationship with Jesus anymore. Okay, there might be some clutter that you want to get rid of. There might be some things that you want to kick out the door and lock the door behind them. Okay, now there might be other times or when you're going to want a little fresh air into your home. Okay, you let Gary cook and he burnt stuff on the stove. It happens all the time. And you want to open a window and let some fresh air in. Okay, those times happen as well. But in order to let the fresh air of God in, you might need to do something that simple, like making a decision to let the Holy Spirit flow in. Okay, saying, I'm ready, I'm just going to open this window and get some fresh air in my walk with God. Okay, this is your dwelling place with Christ that we're talking about. It is your decision on what you allow in or what you don't. Okay, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to force His way into your life. Okay, this is your abode. This is your place of residence with Christ. So put some thought into it. Put a little care and attention into abiding in Him and letting Him abide in you. Okay, abiding in your Savior is such a powerful, critical, and yet simple thing to do. Okay, no matter what else is going on in your life, just like Mary choosing to sit at the feet of Jesus, you too choose to take every opportunity you can get to plant yourself in the most needful place around, abiding in Jesus, okay, sitting at His feet. Amen. Father, we praise You this morning. I pray that, Father, as we allow Your word to speak to us, and Father, even using my voice, Father, things that I believe You've prompted me to say this morning, Lord, that will penetrate hearts, that will help people to grow in their faith, to be able to push aside some of the things that don't need to be in your life, but allow you, open that window, open the door wide open to letting you come in and do what you want to do. Father, that our relationship with Christ, our relationship in your with our Savior will continue to abound. It will be fostered to the point that it just grows and grows and grows and gets deeper and more solid and more concrete, and that we have you and know you as our refuge, as that place we can constantly go to and turn to. Father, we praise you this morning. I thank you for all that you've done, Lord, for encouraging us with your worship this morning and speaking to us during those times. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the children being willing to sing and to glorify you, Father. And I pray that as we go forth from here, Lord, that we'll feel a little different on the inside, that we have more of an understanding of some things that you might lead us to do or not do that will help with this abiding in your Savior, in our Savior, Lord. Father, we praise you for these things. We give you the praise and the glory for it. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen and amen. Abide in your Savior.